Good morning, church family, and this is a first. Welcome to First Baptist Church. It is Sunday morning, April the 12th. It is Easter Sunday morning, and our first church service that is both audio and video. So this is really a unique experience for me, and it's kind of weird. I have one person. I have an audience of one. That's the camera. So that is very strange for me. As we begin the services this morning, I want to give you a couple of announcements. Yes, it's typical Sunday morning, right? So a couple of announcements that we've been asked to make. First of all, the announcement concerning the elections here in Williams County. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but obviously our elections were altered by the pandemic, so we weren't able to have the elections as normal. You can still do an absentee ballot. And I'm going to give you an address where you need to write to, call them. You can get on their website, but it's for the Williams County Board of Election. The address is 1425 East High Street, and they are in Suite 104, and that's here in Bryan. The phone number is 419-636-1854. If you would like to get an absentee ballot, you can do so. They need to be, you request the absentee ballot, or you can print off the request form online. And then what you end up doing is it has to be sent, the request has to be sent to them. They send you the ballot. The ballot has to be postmarked by April the 27th or placed in their box at the election board on the 28th by 7:30 in the morning. So if you would like to do that, you are certainly welcome to do that. We'd also like to thank you for the many Easter cards. I think this, I've heard it from other people, this is perhaps the Easter service or the Easter year where people have received more Easter cards than they have ever received before. So we are very grateful for the many cards and just calls of encouragement that have been given to us. We greatly appreciate that. With the video this morning, you are going to see another link that I'm going to add for a video. This is for Heartland Baptist Bible College. Before the sermon, there's always special music, right? And so if you would like to switch over to that, I've given you the link to it, and it is their college singing the song Hope is Alive. It is the Easter song that our choir was planning on singing for you for Easter Sunday. And it is a tremendous rendition of the song. Granted, they have a choir of about 200 people, so the sound is going to be considerably different than ours, but ours would have been great. But to hear 200 young voices singing that song, and their soloist is absolutely amazing on it. I will warn you, though, because Heartland Baptist Bible College is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and the Baptists in the South are definitely different than the Baptists in the North. This is a live recording, and so you will hear the people in the audience. I mean, they don't say amen. They shout amen and hallelujah and you'll, yeah, and things like that. You'll hear that the whole time. Throughout the entire song, and when that song is finished, the audience erupts in praise and applause and all that. It's really, really neat. So I don't know if that ever happened here, if people were amening that loud. I don't know for sure if I could concentrate, but it's very, very interesting. Take your Bibles this morning, open up with me to Luke chapter 23 as we get into our Easter Sunday morning message. Luke chapter 23. As you're turning to Luke chapter 23, back when I was a child, I remember an Easter Sunday when after the morning service, we had an Easter egg hunt at the house. And I had to have been somewhere between 4 to 7 years of age because it was at the house when we lived on County Road D and 20 there at the corner. And I'm sure there were other Easter egg hunts, but this particular Easter egg hunt stood out to me because it was unlike any other that I'd ever experienced, and it was unlike any other that I'd ever experienced beyond that. The reason that it was so different is because we were hunting the Easter eggs in the snow. There was snow on that Easter Sunday morning. Here we are. I am recording this actually on Friday, so this is Friday morning for me, Easter Sunday morning for you. What did we have last night? What did we have on the ground this morning? We had snow. Not nearly as much as we did back when I was a kid. But here we are about 47 years later, and this is another strange Easter Sunday morning for me. However, this isn't just strange locally. This is a strange Easter Sunday globally. All across the world, churches are empty. Parking lots are empty. Nobody is in the churches. Nobody is meeting due to the pandemic. As I've been in contact with our missionaries all across the world, our missionaries are facing the exact same thing. So this isn't something that is just unique to us here in Northwest Ohio or unique to us here in the United States. This is all across the world. Services are being live streamed or they are being listened to on CDs or sometimes maybe even there's a television station that has an Easter service on it. Easter dinners, they're going to be modified this year or completely wiped out because the pandemic. People cannot come together like we would typically do. It's the strangest feeling to come into our church and for all the church pews to be empty. It's strange to preach to empty pews. And it just seems that our church has been hit very, very hard since January 1st. And I'm not suggesting that there's no other churches that have experienced the difficulties and things like that, maybe like we have, but we definitely know that we have experienced some severe difficulties. Back after we started from January the 1st, it seems like we just had issues happen. By the time that we were at the end of January, we had already lost Brother Ron Baker in death, and very, very suddenly. We lost a Sunday school teacher, we lost a deacon, and we lost a friend, and we lost a very faithful church member. We finish up with his services, and just a few weeks later after that, Brother Del Kittle's mom, Clara, passed away. And Clara, she would come here on Sunday nights and even on Sunday mornings whenever she was staying with Del and Jan, and always enjoyed it when she was here. She would always call me one of her sons, and she always had to hug me, and she would remind me of a story back from my childhood. And on Sunday nights, she would come for the choir practices, and that was always kind of neat because she was my choir critic. But she never criticized, she always complimented, and she loved to hear the choir sing. And so that was very, very different to not have her here, but boy, I sure loved it when she was. But then Clara passed away. And then on the Sunday afternoon, we had done Clara's funeral. It's March the 1st. And then Brother Larry Vogelsong was tragically killed just a few hours later. And our church is thrown into that whirlwind and having to deal with that. And now we have lost not only a friend, but we have lost a director of our sound department. We have lost one of our security team members. We have lost somebody who had just come off of our trustee board. We've lost another family member. Without knowing it, we were just a couple of weeks away from something called social distancing and stay-at-home orders. And now the holes that have been left by the deaths of these individuals has now turned into a crater because the church family that we need, the love and the support that we needed has been taken away from us by that pandemic. You say, oh yeah, but we can still be in contact. Yes, that's true. But it's just not the same. Because the very people that we are talking to on the phone are the people that we want to be hugging right now. We want to be sitting close to. We want to be sharing in that grief very personally. And that's something that's been taken away from us. Maybe you have that feeling coming to this Easter Sunday morning because this is very strange. And I know that some of you, as you are listening to this, as you are watching this morning, this just doesn't feel and seem like Easter. This doesn't seem like a very celebratory occasion for you. You are sitting at home, you're on your couch, you're in your pajamas, you might be sitting around a table, you could even be lounging in a bathtub right now, and you're listening to it on a tablet or something like that. And this is just very, very strange. And you might seem very empty, maybe discouraged. Could we use the word hopeless? You might feel a little bit hopeless. Well, it's certainly not the first time that people have felt this way. And the sermon this morning for Easter 2020 is simply titled, Hope. hope. In Luke 23, verse 44, let's look at this passage of Scripture together. The Bible says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." And the Bible says, "Now when the centurion saw that what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. And the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. And he was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that as we have read this story out of Scripture this morning, we are thankful to know that Jesus Christ has not remained dead. He did not remain on the cross, but our Lord and Savior is alive and he lives forevermore. And Lord, we pray that as we look at a message about hope, that our discouragements might melt as you fill our hearts with the hope of Easter and a hope that continues with us throughout the year. We pray, Lord, especially if there is one that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that's listening, that today they might recognize that their hopeless condition can be met and it can be solved by the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you're keeping notes this morning, and I trust that you will, the very first point that we want to look at this morning is hope dies. Hope dies. There were 3 days and there were 3 nights where hope has absolutely vanished. In fact, hope vanished beyond the resurrection because hope did not get rekindled until Jesus had made several appearances. One of those appearances that he made after his resurrection was to 2 of the disciples, the Bible says, who were walking on the road to Emmaus. Jump over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and look at verse 13. Luke 24 and verse 13, "Behold, 2 of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they shouldst not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, we had hoped, if you will, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the 3rd day since these things were done." We had trusted. We had hoped. This is past tense. Hope has died. What was it, though, that they had hoped for? The men tell us that what they had hoped for was that Jesus Christ was the one who would redeem Israel. But when they were saying that, what they were hoping for was not spiritual redemption. What they were hoping for was a physical redemption. They were looking for the deliverance from their enemies, the enemies that Israel's had for so many years, the deliverance of from the Romans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, and anybody else who might have wanted to have harmed them. They were expecting and hoping for that deliverance. Israel wanted their own sovereign kingdom. They had hoped for a rebellion and a revolution. They had been told by the women that Jesus had risen. But when they went to the tomb, they saw absolutely nothing. All they have is an empty tomb and no Jesus. We had hoped. We had trusted. But he's not there. So they pack their bags and they go home. Dr. Anthony Evans tells the story about a man who goes to the doctor. And the doctor sits him down in the office and he says, "Sir, I hate to tell you this." He says, "But I've got bad news and I've got really bad news." And the man says, "Well, what's the bad news?" And he says, "The bad news is that I got your test results back. And the test results show that you only have 24 hours to live." The man says, "Wow, that's awful." He says, "What's the really bad news?" The doctor says, "The really bad news is I should have called you yesterday." You know, we have days like that where sometimes things just go from bad to worse. And here are these two that are walking on this road to Emmaus. They had hoped. They had trusted. And hope has died. Days have gone from bad to worse. In less than a week, Jesus goes from being welcomed into the city with the words, "Son of David, King of Israel, and he that comes in the name of the Lord." And now he's been arrested. He's been tried. He's been brutally crucified. They have watched him die, and they have watched him placed into a tomb. Hope died. Somebody has been quoted as saying that we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. Maybe you're listening to this message this Easter Sunday morning, and maybe you're an individual who feels like the plug has been pulled out of your tub, the water has drained out, hope is gone. You may be in some, what you feel are some hopeless situations. Certainly with this pandemic going on, you can see the hopelessness and the fear in the faces of people when you walk into an essential store. You can see it in them. Maybe today there's things going on in your home that nobody knows about. Maybe it's a marriage issue. Maybe it's an issue with the children. Maybe the kids are having issues with mom and dad. That's a possibility. Maybe it's a financial issue because of your job. Who knows what the issue could be, but it's beginning to weigh on you. And you can feel the hope beginning to dribble out of your life. I would challenge you that as we continue looking at the rest of this message this morning, that this is for you. This is to give you hope. This is to give you the encouragement that you need. Hope died. But you know, the good news is that hope didn't stay dead. The second point we want to look at, turn to Luke 24, and we want to look at hope revives. Not only does hope die, but hope revives. In Luke 24, the first 12 verses. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, if you will, and start reading with me here in verse 11. John chapter 20, verse 11. "And Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. The tomb, when they come to the tomb is as empty as our churches. There was nobody there. You know, we would love to see our churches filled again, and that day is coming. But aren't you glad this morning that the tomb that Jesus Christ resided in for those 3 days and those 3 nights, that tomb is empty. Aren't you glad for that? In your home, say amen. Say it loud. The story is told about a Sunday school teacher, and she's teaching a class of children. She asked her kids, she said, What is Easter about? She wanted to get the kids engaged. What is Easter all about? And the kids began saying things like, It's about the Easter bunny. It's about Easter eggs. It's about Easter egg hunts. It's about candy. It's about having to dress up in fancy clothes to go to church and all those kinds of things. The teacher was not getting the answers that she wanted, and certainly not the answers she expected. So she worded the question a little bit differently. She said, Okay, that's some of the things that we do at Easter, but can anybody tell me what is the true meaning of Easter? What is Easter really about? Finally, this little girl raises her hand, and she's called on, and she says, Easter is about Jesus arising from the tomb and what he does for us. And the teacher was just thrilled. She thought, Oh, that is great. She says, Can you tell us, what does Jesus do for us? And the little girl says, Well, he looks to see if he sees his shadow, and if he can, he goes back in for another 6 weeks. I think that little girl was just a little messed up on her theology, and she's mixed up a couple of holidays there. She doesn't really understand it. I hope that we understand what it means that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. He is alive, and he is not going back into that tomb. Now, you can imagine what it must have been like for those who have come to anoint the corpse of Jesus with these burial spices. When they get there, they're wondering, where has the body of Jesus been taken? Has he been stolen? And they want to know where he's at. Well, folks, Jesus was not taken. He was not stolen. He is arisen from the grave. Hope is alive. Look with me back at Matthew chapter 28, and let's notice the effect that this has. When you go from somebody who has had all the hope drained out of them to now they know that Jesus Christ is alive. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 8. The Bible says here, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher. I would imagine the day that they went to the sepulcher with these burial spices, they were just walking very slowly, very sadly. But now Jesus has arisen, and they departed from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. That reverential fear, because what has taken place? The resurrection of somebody from the grave. This is something that had been experienced several days before with the resurrection of Lazarus. But here it's dealing with Jesus. He is the hope of Israel. He is the hope of the Gentile world. He is the hope of every church in America. He is the hope of every church in this world. He is the hope of every person. Hope is alive. And they depart from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and they run to bring the disciples word. Go with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Let's see another description of their attitude when this has happened. Mark chapter 16 and verse 8. The Bible says in Mark 16 and verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Leaving a cemetery after having found that your loved one has arisen from the grave would put joy and excitement in anybody's step. And this isn't just anybody. This is Jesus that has arisen from the grave. No wonder there was such a mixture of joy and gladness and running and reverential fear and all those kinds of things. Now go over with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, after Jesus Christ has arisen from the grave, it seems like he just spread hope and joy everywhere that he went. And when you read through the scriptures and the Bible talks about all the different appearances that the Lord Jesus Christ made, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4 talks about the various appearances post-resurrection that he made. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." After Jesus Christ has arisen from the grave and he makes all these appearances, hope definitely comes alive as he encourages the people and he teaches them of the kingdom that is to come. And you can see how the hope has changed people. You can see their attitudes. When we leave the Gospels and we start going into the book of Acts, things change. Acts begins with the church, these people pre-Pentecost, as they are gathered together in the upper room and they are praying together. We see the change that takes place in Peter's life. Peter goes from being an obnoxious pain. I would think he was an obnoxious pain. If I was one of the other disciples during the time of Jesus' ministry, he would have been the one that would cause my eyes to roll all the time. But now Peter has changed. Peter has a boldness. Peter has a faith. Peter has the right answers to whatever the questions might be. It's changed him. And he leads the church service on the day of Pentecost. When there is hope, there is a promising future. Because in that promising future, as I said here in Acts, the Bible talks about how he talked about the kingdom that was to come, that was future. And you see, when we have hope and hope is alive within us, we don't see the problems that are going on around us. We may see them. They may get us a little bit discouraged, but hope is alive. It springs up within us because we know that Jesus Christ is in control. We know that nothing that is going on around us is going to defeat us. It's not going to destroy us, but rather we have a great and promising future ahead of us. You see, this is why we have to be filled with this Easter hope no matter what is going on around us, because we know that Jesus Christ is alive and well and sitting upon the throne and willing and eager to give us what we need to get us to that appointed future. So that leads me to the next point, the final point: hope thrives. Hope dies, hope revives, hope thrives. In Romans chapter 15, let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Hope thrives. It's not enough that hope revives. I mean, we wanted hope to revive. We wanted Jesus Christ to come back to life, absolutely. But the Bible says it's not just hope that revives, but something that's supposed to thrive. Romans 15 and verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost," that we may abound in hope. The Lord doesn't want us just to have a wishy-washy hope, but he wants us to abound in hope. And as believers in Christ, that ought to be evident in our lives, that we are abounding in hope. Now let me explain, and I didn't do this at the beginning, I saved it to this point. When we talk about hope, maybe somebody that's listening today says, "I don't understand, how do you abound in hope?" And that's because of the way that we define hope. If I say something like this, "I hope tomorrow is going to be warm and sunny," what is that called? That would be called wishful thinking, especially if I said that in the middle of December or January. I hope tomorrow is going to be warm and sunny, a pleasant 80 degrees, and the leaves on the trees and all this kind of stuff. That would be wishful thinking. I am hoping for something that most likely, probably 99.9% sure, is not going to happen. However, when we look at the word hope in the Bible, the word hope is not wishful thinking, but rather it is defined as an expectant confidence. I am expecting these things to happen, but not just hopefully wishing. I am expecting it to happen. Biblical hope is that confidence that we have. And it's not a confidence in things. It's a confidence in the who, the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take a look as we close up the message this morning. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at the hope that is supposed to thrive today. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, let's talk about the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Listen to me, lost person, as you listen to this morning, you have no hope. You have no hope. You have a hopelessness. You have an emptiness within you. And you say, why is that? The Bible tells you. Without God in this world, you have no hope. You say, oh, I believe in God. You know, there are people all over this world that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior that say they believe in God. I believe in a lot of things. I have a head knowledge. And that's what you have, is a head knowledge. But John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. No man comes to God but by me." You see, you cannot have a relationship with the Father, with God, except through Jesus Christ, except through His blood covering your sins, except through the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, making you a new creature in Jesus Christ. That is what is absolutely necessary. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says that it's the hope of the gospel, the confident expectation that the gospel message, when a person believes, it is the power of God unto salvation. Lost soul today, this Easter Sunday, hope is not in you. Hope is not there, but hope can be in you. If today you would give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would repent and believe the gospel message that Jesus Christ, what He did at Calvary's cross was for you. What He did at the empty tomb was for you. That the plan of salvation, it's for you. Lost person, today, would you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? The hope of salvation. Now turn with me to the book of Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, not only is there the hope of salvation, but there is the hope of eternal life. In Titus chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." The hope of eternal life. This past week, we received in the mail a free CD, and I can't remember where it came from, but that free CD refuted the doctrine of eternal security. There was like 20-some MP3 messages that refuted the doctrine of eternal security. Well, let me tell you something. Somebody wasted their money in sending that to this church. Somebody wasted their money on the postage. Somebody wasted their money on the envelope. Somebody wasted their money on those CDs. You want to know why? Because as soon as I saw what those CDs were about and read the letter that went with it, file 13. Those things went into the garbage. My Bible tells me that there is the promise of eternal life. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That's in the present tense. and shall not come into condemnation. That is future tense, but is passed from death unto life. The individual that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our expectant confidence, our hope in salvation leads us to a hope of eternal life. We know that that is something that God has promised, and the Bible says God cannot lie. Now in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, Titus 2 and verse 13, the third thing that this hope supplies us is a hope of the rapture. And the Bible says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice that the passage doesn't say the return. The passage says the appearing. I believe that what is referred to here is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds, where we will meet the Lord in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. That day is coming very soon. It is our hope. It is our expectant confidence that Jesus is going to rescue us out of this world. The final thing that we look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. And in this passage, we see that we have hope for a heavenly home. Hope for a heavenly home. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, it says, "And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." In Colossians 1:5, it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." We look forward with an expectant confidence, our heavenly home. And we know that one day, very, very soon, that we will get to experience that which has been prepared and provided for us. We have that hope of salvation because we've trusted Jesus as Savior, the hope of what the gospel message promises. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope for a heavenly home. We have the hope of the rapture, knowing that we may not experience death this side of eternity. We may not have to go through that and just get ushered right into eternity. Now, where does all this hope come from? You're here in 1 Corinthians 15. Look with me at verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." You see, there's only one thing that could actually destroy hope. Only one thing. And that is if it could be proven that Jesus Christ, now historical evidence is out there through secular as well as religious history, that this man that came upon this earth by the name of Jesus Christ did exactly what the Bible says that he did, that he was crucified on a cross. Historians have proven that. But if historians could prove that Jesus Christ did not arise from the grave as he said, then hope would be destroyed. In 2007, a fellow by the name of James Cameron produced a documentary, and it was produced for the Discovery Channel entitled "The Lost Tomb of Jesus," in which they proclaimed that they had found the ossuary or the bone box of Jesus Christ. If that had been true, if the remains of Jesus Christ would have been found, all hope would be gone, destroyed in an instant. However, it's interesting because both religious as well as secular commentators and archaeologists and all that, they produce documentaries refuting everything that was in this one from James Cameron. And they said it was just the most awfulest archaeological speculation that could have ever been offered, not based on science, but rather based on the bent of Hollywood that wants to destroy the truth of the resurrected Lord. Listen, if you're listening today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you know that hope is not dead. Hope is alive, and regardless of what is going on in this world, hope thrives in your heart and in mine. As you contact friends and family today, wishing them a happy Easter, share with them the joys of the hope that you have in Jesus. Reflect that hope as you go into the few stores that are open. Let people see a difference, Christian, in your face and in your life and in your actions and the way that you interact with people. Obviously, 6 feet of distance, but how you interact with people. Let people see the hope that is in you. But if you find yourself feeling very hopeless today, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I think that's great. That is absolutely great. Not because I'm trying to be mean, harsh, or judgmental. I say that because your feeling of hopelessness has created a craving, a hunger in you. You want hope. You want it. Listen, lost soul, Jesus Christ is the answer to your desire. Jesus Christ has all the hope that you need. And lost soul, right now, in the quietness of your heart, would you be willing to call out to the Lord and be saved today? We've already shared with you what the gospel message is, but would you be willing, from the quietness of your heart right now, to pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, Lord, for that one that needs to trust you as Savior. And I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't put this decision off any longer. And if I'm talking to you right now, if you can pray this and mean this honestly, pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ loves me, that he died on that cross for my sins, that he was buried in the tomb, and that he arose again from the grave. I believe that, Lord. I believe that I am a sinner on my way to an eternity in hell. There is only one way to escape that. There is only one way to have that hopelessness removed from my life, and that is to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And Lord, right now I repent and I believe the gospel. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me, be the Lord, the Master, the Savior, the ruler of my all. I give my life to you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed something like that today, would you reach out to our church? You're watching this on the website, and there is a place where you can contact our church. Would you do that? Would you call our church? Send us an email. Contact us somehow and let us know that today, this Easter Sunday, you trusted Jesus as Savior. For our church family, let me close out in prayer with you. And thank you for being with me for this Easter Sunday morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name, Lord, that we lift our brothers and sisters in Christ, not only in this church family, but all across this world as we go through a very different Easter. We lift them before you, Lord, praying that the hope that we have in Jesus would not be darkened or diminished by anything that's going on in this world. But help us, Lord, to have that tremendous faith and confidence in you. And Lord, today as we leave these services, we pray that as we enter into maybe a different kind of an Easter dinner, just make it a very special time together with those gathered at that table. And Lord, until we can be gathered together again in this place, grant us, Lord, your blessing and peace. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.